I have a poem from the Sufi poet, medieval Sufi poet, Rumi. Today, like every other day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. We'll share a time of silence now for about 6 or 7 deep breaths.
Metanoia. I'm here to talk about the process of metanoia. Do you know the word? Yes?
No.
No? I was in a band called Metanoia for 5 years. There's that. The Greek root is change of mind, but today we use it to mean conversion, or a transformative change of heart. And so I'm going to talk to you today about my process of metanoia and encourage you to follow your own process of metanoia. So here's the story. When I was 13, my mother said, "Well, Chrissy, what are you going to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I'm going to be an artist." Because that was the thing that had brought me joy all through my childhood. I built things, I painted, I sang, I wrote poems. It was how I identified myself. I was an artist. But she said, and I can quote this because it was indelibly seared in my memory, she said, "You will be an engineer. That way you can support yourself once your husband leaves you with 3 children. You can paint on the weekends like Winston Churchill." Last night, in thinking about this talk, I Googled Winston Churchill paintings. First time. Oh my goodness. What an artist he was. There's a website devoted to his work. He's got over 500 oil painting, impressionist, amazing works of art. Yet he's called in Wikipedia an amateur painter. So what does the word amateur mean? One who's unpaid, often inept, unskillful, just an amateur. However, from its Latin roots, it means one who does something from love. Right? Rumi said, "Let the beauty we love be what we do." When I was 16, I got the first correspondence from my birth father. And it was a letter. And it came very unexpectedly. My mother handed it to me and said, "Here, Chrissy, your father wrote you a letter." I couldn't understand most of it, but I did understand this part. And I'm going to tell you what it said. November 2nd, 1979. "Your mother tells me you want to be an engineer. And I hope you will indeed do something positive of this nature with your talents. This gets the energy properly focused and also enables you to avoid the pitfalls of the creative life that is conducted for the sake of audience approval. Audiences may approve for a little while when it seems fashionable to do so, semicolon, but jealousy is still their main driving force, and at heart, they would rather see you starve in a gutter than elicit their applause. Let the applause be the salary you draw from the money they pay for good merchandise and useful surface properly engineered." So, I became an engineer. My identity was that I was an artist because that's what I felt joy in doing. So I got 2 degrees in engineering. I got a husband. I got 3 children. He hasn't left me yet. And I tried to be very Churchillian by painting on the weekends and a variety of other things. Do you want to know how to weave a basket? I used to teach basket weaving. I painted a 150-foot mural once. I wrote music. I wrote a 12-movement piece of music for my church a decade and a half ago. I took up knitting when I was 50. I took up pottery when I was 52. I started a photo blog 11 years ago that I've kept up nearly daily. So this part of me that was creative couldn't die. And when I became a professor of science education, I instill in my students and in my research and what I do is this creative aspect of teaching, because there's a real art to that, and try to instill that in my teaching as well. However, I feel like I'm an imposter. I feel like I can't even take credit for the things that I've created because I do them in a trance and I don't even know where it comes from. And to this day, I find myself haunted by this terrifying sense of fear. And that's what I want to talk about, is creativity and fear. So I'm this amateur with this fear to pick up a paintbrush and paint. Because I'm afraid that I won't like what I see. And it stifles me from feeling that joy that I felt so much as a child. I don't think I've painted anything from my soul in years. So I read a book recently by David Bales and Ted Orland called Art and Fear. I tried to figure this out. And the book talks about 2 kinds of fear associated with being creative. Fears about yourself and fears about others. When you have fears about yourself, they prevent you from doing your best work because you're afraid that you're not a real artist. I'm afraid to paint because I'll look at it and be disgusted and go, "Ugh, I am an amateur." But then there's the afraid of your reception by others that prevents you from doing your own work instead of copying something on Pinterest. You're afraid that your work will be dismissed as a craft or a hobby or a decoration. I'm not so sure I'm afraid, as my father said, that audiences would rather see me starve in a gutter. But I do have this fear that I'm going to do something and look at it and go, "Ugh, I really am an amateur at this. I doubt that I'm a real artist." And so I'm struggling with this metanoia, this change of heart. I have lots of friends who are real artists, and you're sitting right here. And I'm so proud of you all. You all seem to have so much courage to express yourself and the world around you and share your work with others. And in doing so, we all experience joy and awe in what you do. And I don't think I'm courageous enough. However, we are the species that creates. It's part of our birthright. We evolved as a species because of our ability to create, to modify the world around us. And it's so natural for us. It started when we picked up two blocks and put them on top of one another, or smeared our oatmeal on the high chair tray and made finger painting art, or built a fort in the woods. And put your math mind on. If we are indeed created in the image of a creator, what's the only thing we know about ourselves? If A equals B, then B equals A. That means we are creators. We are the species that creates. And we can find nourishment within the work itself and the sharing of the work. And yet there's this psychology that can haunt us with fear. Are you afraid to dance? Are you afraid to sing? Are you afraid to make that thing? How do we move past that fear and become fully expressive of our birthright? The book I read says that you either give it your best shot and risk that it won't make you happy, or you don't give it your best shot, guaranteeing that it won't make you happy. And what separates artists from ex-artists is that those who challenge their fears continue, and those who don't quit. And then there are those who never start. And there's an operating manual in the book that says that the key is making friends with others that make art. That should be your destination when you're trying to pursue the creative life. So putting these words on paper and speaking them to you all is an act of creativity and art and courage. And I hope it will encourage you all to find like-minded creatives around you and in the community for encouragement and fellowship. So I encourage you to express your creativity as your gift to the world and to do it without fear. Let the Spirit move through you, and in doing so, you will encourage others. Whenever I play the piano here, I'm sure to make at least one mistake so that you will see that an amateur can do something out of love. Although I didn't make any mistakes, Ted. We rocked that one. An amateur can do something without love. We can all be Churchillian. So you will experience metanoia, this change of heart, when you bring more joy into the world through your creativity.